Hello, everybody out there in internet radio. That's my show. And, all right, come on. The dogs are starting to bark. Anyway, welcome to my show. Hey, come on. I got my show going on here. Don't need you barking. You know what I'm saying? Hello. How are you, everybody? I'm doing okay. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon here in San Antonio. And I've got some things planned for my show. First of all, I'm going to get something going here. Give me just a few seconds, please. All right. Well, I hope you had a good week. So here we are. In 2021. And I'm always impressed by the size of the universe, you know. And I'm doing what I can, just like I think everybody should be, to bring the world into a higher consciousness, to realize that we are not alone, but we're stuck. We are stuck right now as a species, as a civilization. Stuck. Just like they were back then when they thought the world was flat and that the universe revolved around Earth. And it's going to take a collective effort on everybody's behalf to raise the consciousness. And people like me, people who have other shows on BBS radio, brilliant people around the world, souls, on a soul's journey. And so a couple of subjects I'd like to talk about this evening are suicide, for one, and then also about extraterrestrials. I was talking with a person last week, exchanging emails with her on the subject of suicide. Did you know that once every 40 seconds around the world, somebody commits suicide? Who's to blame for that? 800,000 a year, people taking their own lives because they can't handle what's going on. A permanent solution to a temporary problem. Well, I want to put some words out into the atmosphere to help our world to stop this. We all co-creator gods in the making. Who am I to contribute my thoughts to solving this problem? Just another soul like you. But, you know, even though we are equal, our souls are not equal. And it takes a brave soul to try and solve this problem. And there are many difficult problems in the world. Abortion is another big issue with people. I no sooner mention that word than I feel the contentiousness of that issue. But Today I'm just going to talk about suicide. In that conversation I had with that woman last week at work, which all originated from when we had a town hall at work and we were gathered together in the theater, and the commanding general was talking, and he related a story of a person who had committed suicide and how sad it was. I don't remember all the details. Now, some people might think that this is a morbid subject, and why talk about it? But we need to talk about it in order to stop it from happening. We need to have that dialogue to show that you care. Like with the homeless people in the world. Do you care about homeless people? If you do, you would give them money and not care about how they spend it. If you really care. With suicide. Now, I myself have contemplated suicide. Before in the past, but that's a long story. And here I am today, still alive. And there's a lot of people, I think, besides the ones that actually do commit suicide, who contemplate doing it. And then there are those that went ahead and tried it and didn't succeed. And talking about this can only help, believe me. You have to believe that talking about it can help. Everyone needs to go to other people. They need to know that if you take your own life, you throw in the towel because you can't take it. And believe me, I know some people get overwhelmed. I was there myself one night, a soldier in the army away from home for the first time, strung out on alcohol. I know how easy it is to lose control. And it happens quickly. And one bad decision costs you your life. There's a book by a woman named Angie Fenimore, Beyond the Darkness, about how she tried to take her life and actually succeeded. She left her body and she went to a realm that could be best described as purgatory, where there were thousands of other people who had committed suicide, thousands of other people who had committed suicide. And I'm going to talk about this subject because I know it helps. We have to put those words out into the atmosphere that tell people, don't do it, because you're going to find yourself in that realm where there is no hope, no light, no love, no joy, no comfort, where actually it's worse. 10 times worse than they thought they had it here on Earth. There's always hope here on Earth. And part of the problem, my friends, part of the problem is that people don't know that there is an afterlife. They don't realize, including me sometimes, that we are finite beings here on planet Earth. And we have an expiration date, yes. But we are not invincible, and there is an afterlife, just like before you were born, and you don't remember when you were born into this world. We had a pre-existence, and then when we die, we are going to go back to where we were before. Maybe there are, how should I say it, different scenarios. Not everyone goes back to where they came from because there is such a thing as punishment. If you violate universal law, my friends, you have to pay the price. That's part of universal law. If you murder somebody, there are exceptions. You're going to wind up in God's jail. That's what I believe. And I've read a lot of books, done a lot of research on this. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Heaven and hell is a reality, just like this planet. The universe didn't have to exist all those billions of years ago when the creator of the universe initiated the Big Bang and the physical universe began to form itself in accordance with his, her will. Nothing existed except for the creator and light and darkness and silence. Darkness, my friends, is actually a manifestation of the physical properties of the universe. It is a manufactured reality. Just like darkness is, like right now, I'm seeing it getting dark. But it wouldn't be that way if the world wasn't rotating on its axis, revolving around the sun, being held to the body and all the way to the center of the universe. Gravity is holding everything together by the might of the Creator's power. What can we say but awesome and thank you, Creator, for this day of life, which is a gift. And suicides, people who are contemplating suicide need to know that you could very likely will be confronted by an angry God. Angry. Angry at you for throwing in the towel. When there are resources here in this world, some people find comfort in the Bible or other books. Prayer works, my friends. I've seen it happen thousands of times. I've seen my prayers answered because I pray for all kinds of things, not just my financial means, you know. You could pray for winning the lottery, but sometimes God knows, and God knows best, that a lot of people wind up in a worse situation than they were in before they won the lottery because all that money can impact a person negatively. And they could wind up spending it all and getting bankrupt. And you buy someone a car, and they go and kill themselves in a car wreck. And if you hadn't bought them that car, they'd still be alive, that kind of thing, you know. So having dialogue is the key to preventing suicide. Just talking about it. Do you care for these people? Are you seeing the warning signs? But more than that, we need to tell them about what will happen when, if and when you do commit suicide. Your spirit will leave your body. You'll go to a place where there are other suicides, a holding area. You'll be whisked away to this area that is a dark plane. As I mentioned, it is like a jail. It's purgatory, as some people know it. And it's fenced in by dark energy and dark matter. There is no love, no joy, no hope, no light. And you could be bound there for hundreds of our Earth years. But in reality, time stands still there. Yes, you do have a spirit in your body, and if you kill yourself, your spirit will leave your body, but it won't go to that land of light up in the sky. You'll be in a dark place. I've heard that the dark side of the moon is one possible place where this large plane exists. And you'd be sent there by this unseen, invisible power, like in the book Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. This one man, this lady was telling me about, who committed suicide was a father of some beautiful children. And things got overwhelming for him, and he wrote a note before he committed suicide and said, "I love you all very much. I'm going to miss you, but I think you'd be better without me." And that's the kind of thing that people think. And more likely than not, my friends, alcohol is behind all this. That flaws their rationale, so to speak. And then he told his children in that suicide note that when they look up in the evening sky and they see that star up there that they focus their eyes on, all those stars, and one of those stars would be him. He'd be shining down on them. Actually, suicide can be a very selfish act, because I'll tell you why. Before we're born into this world, we can make a pact with our spirit guides and the spirit mother and father and all the angels that we will complete a mission that our spirit mother or father, depending whether we're male or female spirit, and that mission we are to complete while we are here. And when we're born into this world, then we have guidance, we have angels with us all the time, and we are to stay on that path to complete our mission. But sometimes we stray from the path. That's when we are prompted by angels and sometimes demons and bad spirits to get back on track to finish our mission. And God knows that some people are evil and need that kind of prompting. I don't need to name any people's names in our past history. We have done some evil things, killing many people. But even them are worthy of forgiveness, because we are all God's children. And the Creator wants to forgive us and understands maybe the way we were brought up, shaped and molded us into the way we are. Maybe our parents were physical, sexual abusers. You can imagine the scenarios. You've heard of them all. And that can warp a person's mind and lead them into doing irrational and illogical things. So we find ourselves, when they find themselves in this realm of darkness, then there's nothing to do but just wait until they are released. Because I don't believe in eternal damnation. I don't believe in eternal damnation. Only someone who is not forgiven and not loving believes in eternal damnation. Someone who uses fear tactics to make people think the way they do. And it's not the truth. The truth is what's more important, right? So don't be intimidated by what some people say. Just focus on the truth. You are loving parents, some of you. Would you condemn your children to a lifetime of suffering and pain just because they disobeyed you? I think not. And so, in this book, Beyond the Darkness, Angie Fenimore describes how she was in that plane of darkness, surrounded by people murmuring to themselves nonsensical things, stuck in that purgatory where time stands still. I would say to some people who are contemplating suicide, is that what you want to do? Is that what you really want? To be stuck in this land of pain and suffering 10 times worse than you have it now, where there is no love, no hope, no joy, no light, no comfort? I think not. But people don't know that's what's going to happen. You see how we're lacking in knowledge. But some people do have knowledge to share, like I'm sharing right now with you, because I've read this book. And because I'm putting these words into the atmosphere, I'm having a discussion. And some people, they don't want to talk about it because it's too morbid of a subject or not an enjoyable subject. But if it strikes close home to you, if one of your friends or one of your relatives, God forbid, were to commit suicide, then your mind would change instantly. So it's always good to talk about it. Any issue, whether it's homelessness or abortion, talk it over, have dialogue, care, show your neighbors that you care, show your friends that you care, and show people that you care. I see it, my friends, this way. We are evolving very slowly on this world, and the value of life is slowly increasing. The value of life hasn't always been, well, let me put it this way. Life hasn't always had a lot of value in the past, in our history. You can see it before. Throughout the centuries, man has been unkind to each other. Now that we're in the Industrial Revolution and technology is increasing daily, it's more important than ever to stay in touch with our spirituality. And part of that being spiritual, recognize that we are all one people, one world, one universe, one species, and we have to care for each other. That's the future. The past is gone. Yes, we were mean. We killed a lot of people in wars for no good reason. But now we have to focus on the future. And how do we do that? What's the key to loving our neighbor, my friends? Praying for each other. It doesn't take a whole lot of courage, and that's usually what people lack in courage to develop themselves spiritually. And here we are in America, home of the brave, and yet there is an epidemic of cowardice in the world. I'm not going to say the United States, in the world today, an epidemic of cowardice, my friends. Yet we think some of us are brave. Pray. And it doesn't have to be complicated to say some simple words like God, to bless so-and-so. Please bless us all, everybody. Please help my wife. Please, God, help us to get more money. Please, God, keep us safe and well. Protect us from the virus. However you want to put it. Well, when this woman, Angie Fenimore, finds herself in this purgatory, hold on, please. She's visited by Father God. And I'm going to read to you from this book about her experience, okay? Here we go. Then I heard a voice of awesome power, not loud, but crashing over me like a booming wave of sound, a voice that encompassed such ferocious anger that with one word it could destroy the universe, and that also encompassed such potent and unwavering love that, like the sun, it could coax life from the earth. I cowered at its force and at its excruciating words. Is this what you really want? A great voice emanated from a pinpoint of light that swelled with each thunderous word until it hung like a radiant sun just beyond the black wall of mist that formed my prison. Though far more brilliant than the sun, the light soothed my eyes with its deep and pure white luminescence. I sensed that the light could not, or perhaps would not, I wasn't sure, cross the barrier into the darkness. And I knew with complete certainty that I was in the presence of God. Now, within the brilliance, I could see the form of a man, draped in billowing robes of breathtaking whiteness, pearlescent, magnificent hair flowed back onto his shoulders from a noble, rounded widow's peak. He was a being of light, not just radiating light or illuminated from within, but he almost seemed to be made of the light. It was a light that had substance and dimension, the most beautiful, glorious substance that I have ever beheld. From the light, I felt love directed toward me as an individual, and I was baffled by it. I had never felt deserving of God's love. Anytime I had an inkling that he had taken a hand in my life, I felt that I had probably benefited as a casual bystander because someone else in my life, someone better, someone more deserving had received God's blessings. So little of God's love had accidentally spilled over onto me. I've been taught that God loves all of his children and all of his creations. Naturally, I categorize God's creations and assume that we each get our little parcel. But having ranked myself with the trees and fish in importance among God's creations, I now saw that I had limited my ability to feel his presence and concern for me. I had grossly underestimated my importance and the nature of my origin. I am literally the spirit offspring of God. I even looked like him. I was surprised that he really had a body with arms and legs and features like mine, and I immediately fixated on his nose. There was a bump on the bridge that tapered into a sharp point, like a nose you might find on a Greek vase painting. An unusual characteristic of mine is that I, too, have a bump on the bridge of my nose, which I inherited from my mother. As I studied the features of God, I marveled to see that what I had learned in church and from the scriptures, which I had assumed was figurative or symbolic, was apparently literally true. We are actually physically created in his or her image. This realization was staggering. Probably because of the brilliance of the light, which was white, God looked to me like an old man without wrinkles and with a young, strong body. His shoulders were broad and his chest was full. His arms were strong and the muscles well-defined. His chiseled facial structure was strong and perfect, softened by a neat white beard. But more striking to me than his physical features was the light that emanated from them. All beauty, all love, all goodness were contained in the light that poured forth from this being. I have since caught glimpses of this light of nature, and I have felt portions of this intense light in people who love without judgment and who give without pretense. Occasionally, I felt the presence of spirits of light, and it is this kind of light that comes from them. But there is nothing that we are even capable of imagining that comes close to the magnitude of perfect love that this being poured into me. I was captivated by his beauty. Yet as much as God filled me with wonder and awe, I was certain that I was not meeting him for the first time. There was a tremendous familiarity about him. While I was not remembering details of life beyond my mortal birth, I was reacquainting myself with the life that I shared with the Father, a spirit life that seemed to extend to the beginning of the universe. I could see that none of the others in the plane were aware of God's presence. The man cowering next to me could see that I was focused on something, but it was apparent that he couldn't see anything beyond the barrier. Others continued to babble unaware. Then God spoke to me. His words were excruciating. Is this what you really want? Of course, I didn't want to be separated from my family and from the people who love me, but I had no choice. I was a failure at everything that was important to me. And I've tried to change the course of my life with disastrous result. I was sure that it wasn't a matter of what I wanted, but what I was capable. I could not succeed, and I could not stand the pain of defeat any longer. I felt that this dark place was where I belonged. Now his voice exploded with energy. Don't you know the worst thing you could have done? I could feel his anger and frustration, both because I'd thrown in the towel and because I cut myself off from him and from his guidance. I stood there with a stone face that I had as a teenager as I endured lectures by Joanne over my poor grades, which she and my dad warned me would severely limit my options in later years. At the time, I had almost no concept of life after high school, and I suppose a little of that attitude had fallen. Certainly, I had no real concept of suffering, the consequences for my actions after I died. And I felt trapped. I had been able to see no other choice but to die before I could do any more damage in life. So I answered, "But my life is so hard." My thoughts were communicated so fast that they weren't even completed before I absorbed his response. You think that was hard? It is nothing compared to what awaits you if you take your life. When the Father spoke, each of his words exploded into a complex meanings like fireworks, tiny balls of light that erupted into a billion bits of information, filling me with streams of vivid truth and pure understanding. Life's supposed to be hard. You can't skip over parts. We have all done it. You must earn what you receive. And that's it, my friend. That's all I'm going to read from the book Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. And there's an 11-minute YouTube video that summarizes her experience, and it's really amazing. So check it out. You need to be aware of that so that you can help somebody. Maybe someday you can provide that information, what I told you, what I read to you, what I learned. And I know that it's hard to tell people what to do because why? Because we're all creator gods in the making. Even Jesus said during his ministry on earth, you are gods. Greater things that you will do, greater things you will do. Just think about that. You are gods, he said, because Jesus was a God. He was an advanced soul. He came here on a mission to help save the world because we were going through some difficult times back then. A lot of murder, sexual immorality, terrible things happening. And the time was ripe, or divine intervention. There has been divine intervention before in the past, my friends, before that, and after that, but not much. Not too much recently, right? Hold on, I'll be back in a few seconds. Okay, I'm back. So, if you know somebody that has committed suicide, you can help to free them from that prison that I mentioned as described in the book. You want to know how? If you have the courage to do that, it could be someone close to you, or maybe not. And it might not work all the time, but certainly any prayer is considered by the Mother and Father God. I said a prayer for that father I was telling you about. And the reason you should is because, as I mentioned, we are one world, one universe. One world, one universe. Whether you are a sentient being here on planet Earth, a human being, or possibly another sentient being on another planet, in our galaxy or another galaxy, we are all still one. But more easier to understand here. In one world here. Even Ronald Reagan said in an address to the United Nations back in the late 80s, think how quickly our focus would change if we were under attack. And unfortunately, he used a negative scenario. If we were under attack by an extraterrestrial species, and believe me, there are some destroyers out there. Fortunately, we have some friends who are taking care of us. But there are some species who are so-called destroyers that have technology which is so far in advance of our own. It's a laughing matter, really, to think that we could compete with them. And they know how to destroy planets instantly. Can you imagine that? One people, one world. Ronald Reagan said, just think how things would change and how we would pull together. And it's a bad scenario to mention, but you remember after 9/11, I wish it hadn't happened, and I hope nothing like that ever happens again, my friends, just so you know. But think how America pulled together after that. It shouldn't be that a sign of a civilization in the lower stages of evolution. And when you can compare us to other civilizations out there in the universe that have been in existence before the Milky Way galaxy even was created, and they were traveling around the universe in incredible spaceships with amazing technology even before the Milky Way galaxy. Galaxies are created, solar systems are created one after the other. The universe is forming itself in a circular fashion from the center outwards, expanding, accelerating. And so we are in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. So the galaxy didn't exist. Logically, if there's a creator that has the power to create all this life on Earth, to include us, human beings, logically that creator could create life anywhere in the universe. And I know it's true that the universe is teeming with life. Going back to suicides, so just a simple prayer like creator of the universe. I know that Father. I don't have his name, but if you know the name, all the better. Please have mercy on his soul, because the soul is the brain of the spirit, my friends, and we have spirits inside of us. Bless his soul. He was a good man, overwhelmed by circumstances beyond his control. Release him, please, if it can be in accordance with your will, your wills, Mother and Father God, release him from his purgatory. Because ultimately, my friends, when they are released, it's because a certain amount of time has passed, just like a jail sentence, or they are freed by prayers by loved ones, relatives, or friends, or someone who cares. It's all about caring. I know it's a difficult subject. So is abortion. Let's just change that subject to abortion. I'm kind of leaning towards, and my stance has changed over the years, women having the right to choose for themselves. However, they need to be aware so they can make an informed decision that the child that they abort, they're going to meet when they get to heaven. Just like the ones who are miscarried also are there. And they are raised by angels and loving spirits. They're redeemed spirits. Like in the movie, the book, Heaven is for Real, the young boy met his sister who was miscarried. Also, the babies who are aborted are there. They were looking forward to living their lives on earth, but they know their mothers had a very difficult decision to make. And they have to live with that decision for the rest of their lives. And I support them, the mothers, but they should be informed that you're going to meet that baby that you abort when you get to heaven. It's true. It's true. So I would suggest that we don't do things that later we're going to regret having done. But then again, there are some circumstances that might warrant abortion. Incest, rape. I can understand that. Just like us. When our mothers were pregnant with us, our spirits entered their body. At some time during fetal development, they say usually 5 months or so. Although, from my research, it's not uncommon for babies to be put into the mother's womb at an earlier time, and sometimes even just before being born. But usually it's around 4 or 5 months. Ah, yes, the universe is such a tremendously large place, my friends. It's a really shame, it's a real shame that we can't see all the stars that are out there. Because of our atmosphere, we can only see some of them. But if you were to take a trip into outer space and orbit our planet, you would see all the millions of brilliant diamond-like stars against the backdrop of a velvety black space. Again, space, I told you before, from what I've learned, is a manufactured reality. The universe is a manufactured reality. Space is made of dark energy and dark matter. Einstein knew that in his theory of general relativity. He said space is a fabric. And My point is made really clear, as I mentioned, by our planet rotating on an axis where we get half a day of light and half a day of darkness. You think that's an accident? There's a higher power that is orchestrating all this amazing, wonderful things. All these amazing, wonderful things are orchestrated all the way to the center of the universe. The supreme creator of the universe is responsible for all creation. We wouldn't exist right now. We would just disappear like puffs of smoke. If the universe hadn't begun forming itself with the Big Bang all those years ago. The fence in my backyard, the trees, this cell phone I'm talking on, the table over there, the chair over there would just disappear. And nothing would exist except, again, for the creator, the spirit, the great original creator spirit of the universe, who is so awesome. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to comprehend the power that this spirit, the creator spirit, has. And the omniscience, the knowledge, create life. Just think of it. This, all this life on Earth is taken. A praying mantis, for example, with its eyes and its antenna and its long legs, and it can fly. You think you could do that? You think mankind, with all its technological glory and splendor, how we can talk to someone on the other side of the world, my stepdaughter in Tokyo, I can FaceTime her. Or we have cars that are able to steer themselves. Or we can send a man to the moon. We can send probes to Mars and to Saturn, and one of Saturn's moons, Titan, the Cassini mission. Galileo went to Jupiter. The Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft took great pictures of the solar system, all the planets. We've been to Mercury, close to the surface of Mercury. The Russians have landed 8 spacecraft on Venus. Check it out on the internet if you don't believe me. But could we create an ant, a little ant with eyes and a metabolism, capable of reproducing, eating its food, working, doing what it needs to do, to nest, and just with other ants? Could we create an apple seed that would later become an apple tree and grow apples? No. We're far from that. The robots that we create right now, and even into the future, will be incomparable with the human body and the wonderful, incredible way that it was formed and created. A heart that beats independently of our wills, blood that flows through hundreds of miles of veins within the body, lungs that purify that blood, a brain and a central nervous system that lets us know if we put our hand on a hot stove and pulls it away, so we can pull it away in like a tenth of a second. Well, so I was talking with this woman about suicides. One every 40 seconds, my friends, around the world. If we could put a dent in that, me, you, anyone else, let them know that suicide is not the answer. That yes, you are a child of God, that you are created in his or her own image. And you will find out the hard way. something you didn't know that you should have known. What awaits you if you take your own life? And there are resources, people to call, to talk it over with. You could read the Bible or other books that offer spiritual comfort. You could pray. It might be the first time you pray. Share your pain. Share your pain with a loving Creator, Mother and Father. You know, we live in a world of confusion. Some people think there's only a Father God. Well, I ask you, logically, my friends, can a father alone create children? Because even Jesus said, when he was asked, how do we pray, our Father who art in heaven, he should have said our mother and father, but we are the children. But, you know, logically, just like it isn't here on earth, so it is in heaven, as it is throughout the universe, you have the Alpha, the Omega, the Yin, the Yang, positive, the negative, the male, the female. You cannot create children. You have to realize that we are children without a mother and a father. Indeed, we have lived in a land of confusion for a long time now. All these wars in the past, killing people for no good reason. Is it any surprise that we don't have all the answers? That we don't know what the truth is? We've got all these different religions who claim to know the truth, yet they differ in what they believe in. There can only be one truth. Surely you see the logic in that. And also that religion is a money-making business. It can be a stepping stone. It should be a stepping stone to where you need to get in your spiritual life, to where you're supposed to go to fulfill your mission that was given to you by either the mother or father God before you were born onto this planet. And you will be born again on other planets throughout the universe. There are so many of them. Look at some of the pictures of this Hubble Space Telescope, my friends. All those stars out there, which are really suns and solar systems, millions of them. You'll have a lot of different choices. You know what I want to do? One mission I would like. And then I'll tell you about that next show because I've only got a few seconds here, my friends. I would like a mission like Jesus had here on earth, the Jesus who died on the cross. Anyway, I'll talk more about that next week. I love you. Thank you for listening to my show. Take good care and may the Creator of the universe bless us. Everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.